just... Oh, there it goes. I heard it. Is that better?
Is it?
Hello? I promise y'all, there is a new mic on the way. Our key to laughing and being joyful is no matter what life hands you, the smallest of the biggest of things, is don't take it too serious. Do you know that the Bible is a comedy book? If you read the Bible with the sense of humor that I have and some others have, you will get great.
Is that better?
I'm running out of places to put this. Can you hear me now? Is that better? Can you hear me? Y'all can hear me? This is really good. Y'all need to hear it because it's funny and about joy. Turn with me to the book of Luke. We're going to look at the first appearance of Gabriel in the New Testament. And this goes with the pop quiz. We all know Mary got pregnant with Jesus. And Elizabeth got pregnant with John the Baptist. Anybody know John the Baptist's dad's name? Zechariah. All right, let's look at this. Chapter 1. This is really where the Christmas story starts. And Zechariah is one of the forgotten characters that begins the New Testament story of what we call Christmas. Look at verse 8. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. Verse 9. As was the custom for the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. Now, verse 10. While the incense were burning, a crowd stood outside praying. And this is where the story gets funny. Okay? So, he is in the inner sanctuary. He's a priest. He's been chosen. It's his turn to go in. He had a rope tied around his leg. Okay? It doesn't say that, but that was tradition because if he died in there, they had to pull him out. They couldn't go get him. It's right, isn't it? You can't go in there. That's funny to me, but okay. Verse 11, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. Can you imagine? Now, I don't know what Gabriel looks like, but he's one of them when he walks in a room, everybody takes notice, okay? He is the head messenger that God sends out, and he's got a message. Look at verse 13. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you will name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth." and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the father to the children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Imagine this scene, okay? You're in there, you're burning incense, you're doing your job, and an angel shows up with this message. Now, what's your reaction? Think about that for a minute, because let me tell you what happens to us. We pray and we pray and we pray, and then when God answers our prayer, sometimes we miss it. Sometimes it wasn't what we wanted. Have you ever opened a Christmas present and went, You have. You have. Opened it and you go, okay, I got to look happy. But what the heck were they thinking? I'm told I'm hard to buy for. But let me tell you, the thing about the gift, especially when it comes from God, it may not be what you expect. You may not even have any idea of what to do with it. But in the end, it's going to bring you joy. So here we are. We're Zechariah. We're in the temple. God has showed up in the form of Gabriel, and he has answered all of our prayers, and you're going to get what God promised you. And look at his reaction. If I can find it. Verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Did you hear that? How can I be sure this is going to happen? Dude, you're standing talking to an angel. You look at him and go, "What is wrong with you? There's an angel standing there telling you exactly what's going to happen." And he goes, "How can I be sure?" How many times have you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and God said, "Okay, but how can I be sure?" Now, I want to meet Gabriel when I get to heaven, because we have two recorded occurrences. I bet there's many more. And nobody ever believes this dude when he shows up. Nobody. So here's the thing. The first thing that I want you to remember today: if we're going to remain joyful, we have to focus on God and not ourselves. Did you hear that? We have to focus on God and not ourselves. Here was Zechariah's problem. He just heard from an angel that told him, "You're going to have a son." And the first thing he does is look at himself. How can I be sure I'm an old man? And my wife, she's old too. He didn't say it like that, but that's what he was saying. She's old too. Not, his focus was not on God, it was on himself. I'm old. How can this happen? for you to be joyful in the face of any and everything that you face, your focus has to be on God, not on yourself, because you do not have the ability. Zechariah and Elizabeth were well beyond their possibility of making this happen. But God wasn't. So if you're going to remain joyful, you got to focus on God, not yourself. Look at verse 19. The angel of the Lord said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was He who sent me to bring you this good news. Let me translate that for you. You are a nut job. God sent me here, and why aren't you listening? But now, since you don't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Verse 21. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering what took so long. When he finally came out, he could not speak. Then they realized his gestures and his silence must have been a vision in the sanctuary. Verse 23, when Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon after, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. I don't know why this is his chosen punishment for not believing, but he can't speak. Now, here's the thing for us to keep focused on. Not that God is going to punish you, but there's a cost to focusing on ourselves and not God. And most of the time, that cost is you missing the blessing that God has in store for you, because you're so focused on yourself, you don't see what He has and how He can work this out. Because for us, especially us type A's, I need to know A to B, B to C, C to D. I need to know how we're going to get there and what's going to happen. I need to know the whole plan. God rarely will ever give you that. Most of the time, because you can't handle it. Okay? If you want to be joyful, focus on God. Forget the details. Know that God's going to handle this. So he can't speak. He goes home. And just as Gabriel said, she becomes pregnant with John the Baptist. Okay? We're going to jump ahead in the story and be mindful that the fact that God can be trusted and His promises always come true. And He's promised you joy. He's promised you joy. Drop down to verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. They were excited because of her joy. When the baby came, he was 8 days old. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony, and they wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. Anybody ever had a baby in here? Anybody ever got advice from everybody about how, what, where, when, who, when, how, everything? I don't know why we're like that. We've been like that since Bible days. They've decided the name. You need to name this child Zechariah. It was important in their mind, in their culture, to carry on the father's name. So you got to name this baby Zechariah. Verse 60, but Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. These are church people, I'm telling y'all. These are church people. What? They exclaimed. There is no one in all your family by this name. Look at verse 62. So they used gestures to speak to the baby's father what he wanted to name him. I told y'all this was a book of comedy, okay? And there is so much humor in the Bible. Verse 62 cracks me up every time I read it. Okay? So they used gestures to ask the boy's father what he wanted to name him. What is wrong with Zechariah? He can't speak. He's not deaf. Anybody ever tried to speak to somebody that couldn't speak English and the way you do it is just talk louder? People have not changed. They are gesturing at this man. There's so much I wish was in here. What is he thinking? You know he's thinking. This is a bunch of... He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. The most wonderful thing about God is that He loves you so much that even when you don't believe Him, He still loves you. And eventually you will see the joy that He has for you. And can you imagine what Zechariah had to say when he got his voice back? Here's the thing for us. If you want the joy that God has promised, you're going to have to focus on Him, even when life is hard. And for many of us, this time of year, it's hard. But you got to focus on God. And the second thing that I want you to remember is that God expects us to give that joy away. He wants you and I to impact somebody else's life. And right now, there are a lot of people who need it. And it could be the smallest of things. The words of my grandmother never leave me on this subject. Remember that right now, somebody is having the worst day of their life and you don't even know it. That echoes in my head, and it's been 40 years since she said it to me. Remember, somebody is having the worst day of their life and you don't know it. And even a smile on our face could change their day. We should be fountains of joy. Even when life is hard, we should be fountains of joy that are overflowing, not because we're happy, because we have the joy of the Lord who changed everything that first Christmas. Because He came here because He loves us so much, and we have so much to be joyful for. I'm going to pray. I want you to stand, and we're going to sing a song that you know very well to close this service as a reminder of what we should be as we go out there. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for Your joy. I thank You that You love us so much that You came into this world to die for us. And as we focus on your birth, let us be mindful and be reminded that we have so much to be joyful for. Father, my prayer for the people in this room is that, Father, we all know you as our Savior. If there's one in this room that doesn't, I pray that you will open their heart and their mind today and let them not let another minute go by without you. And for those of us who you are our Savior, let us be fountains of joy for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Verse 3.